We tried to get Helen Vendler, but that woman is book solid. And I'm really grateful to Bill for filling in. Bill likes to be called William the 16th now. I just call him the Holy Father of comedy. And he is one of many surprise guests who will be appearing throughout the course of the reading. not at all. So it's time just to get very quickly refocused on me. Murray, blah, 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 and then me. So that's good. I want to start, and these are sacred waters. That looks uncontaminated water. I want to start by reading a couple of poems that are kind of about, they're sort of like coordinates in the poetry exchange. And I'm very reader conscious, and I hope reader friendly. And sometimes when I have very little to say, which is really the best time to write for me. When I was a young poet, I had lots of stuff to say. And then I found out that these things had been said much better. And then I realized I had nothing to say, and my poetry improved remarkably. So in some of these conditions, I like to just write a poem that is about the reader, about you, presumably, and just about our relationship, more or less. And so I think the poem is a sort of lasso, you know, to catch the reader's attention. And so I'll read this poem. I'll start with this poem. It's just called You, Reader. I wonder how you are going to feel when you find out that I wrote this instead of you. That it was I who got up early to sit in the kitchen and mention with a pen the rain-soaked windows, the ivy, wallpaper, and the goldfish circling in its bowl. Go ahead and turn aside, bite your lip and tear out the page. But listen, it was just a matter of time before one of us happened to notice the unlit candles and the clock humming on the wall. Plus, nothing happened that morning. A song on the radio, a car whistling along the road outside. And I was only thinking about the shakers of salt and pepper that were standing side by side on a placemat. I wondered if they had become friends after all these years, or if they were still strangers to one another, like you and I, who managed to be unknown and known to each other at the same time, me at this table with a bowl of pears, you leaning in a doorway somewhere near some blue hydrangeas, reading this. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So that's a poem for you. And this is more from the other side. It's a poem about the habits of poets. And it's called Monday because that's the day when the rituals of life resume. Monday. The birds are in their trees, the toast is in the toaster, and the poets are at their windows. They're at their windows in every section of the tangerine of earth, the Chinese poets looking up at the moon, the American poets gazing out at the pink and blue ribbons of sunrise. The clerks are at their desks, the miners are down in their mines, and the poets are looking out their windows, maybe with a cigarette, a cup of tea, and maybe a flannel shirt or a bathrobe is involved. The proofreaders are playing the ping-pong game of proofreading, glancing back and forth from page to page. The chefs are dicing celery and potatoes, and the poets are at their windows because it is their job, for which they are paid nothing every Friday afternoon. Which window? It hardly seems to matter. Though many have a favorite, for there is always something to see, a bird grasping a thin branch, the headlights of a taxi rounding a corner, those two boys in wool caps angling across the street. The fishermen bob in their boats, the linemen climb their round poles, the barbers wait by their mirrors and chairs, and the poets